Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. It lets you understand all the details so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones made some noise last night on Megyn Kelly's NBC News Magazine Sunday Night. There was plenty of noise leading up to the interview as well. Jones's views that 9/11 was an inside job or that Sandy Hook was fake enraged many and led to calls that NBC should pull the interview. But Jones has millions of followers and President Trump's ear. This hour on Point, Megyn Kelly, Alex Jones, and who deserves the national television spotlight? You can join us on air or online. Did you watch the interview last night? What did you think? You can join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me from Washington this hour, Hadass Gold, media and politics reporter for Politico. Welcome, Hadass. Great to have you.
Hello. Great to be here.
So what'd you make of the interview?
From the beginning, I always said that they should be able and allowed to have such an interview. And I think that they managed to thread the needle appropriately on both sort of exposing him for what he is. I think what would have been most interesting is what this segment would have looked like without all of the uproar. There were reports that they were editing up until the last minute, that they added a parent of a Sandy Hook victim. Now, all TV people will tell you that there's always editing until the very last minute. So I would have also liked to see maybe an early cut before this uproar really started heating up to see how they would have played it then.
Here's Megyn Kelly interviewing again conspiracy theorist and InfoWars founder Alex Jones. In the introduction last night, she explained who Jones is and why the network chose to broadcast the conversation even after a week of controversy.
For years, Jones has been spreading conspiracy theories, claiming, for instance, that elements of the U.S. government allowed the 9/11 attacks to happen and that the horrific Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. Some thought we shouldn't broadcast this interview because his baseless allegations aren't just offensive, they're dangerous. But here's the thing. Alex Jones isn't going away. Over the years, his YouTube channel has racked up 1.3 billion views. He has millions of listeners and the ear of our current president.
So, Hadass Gold, a lot paid to this, a lot of attention, some big questions, too, about journalism here. Give us a sense of their reaction before and after the Jones interview.
So there was a lot of people who were just angry that such a large platform like NBC would turn its attention to somebody like Alex Jones, especially because of the Sandy Hook connection and especially because of the timing that it aired on Father's Day. And a lot of what happens with these types of shows that these parents and the families and the people concerned about the Sandy Hook families were concerned about is that it seems as though every time Alex Jones sort of pops up again, these families get more and more harassing phone calls. They get threats from people who believe that they made up the deaths of their children. So it has a direct effect when these types of people get into the news. And there was others who were just arguing the merits of putting such a person on television, also the kind of the news importance of why does this person matter necessarily? And that's what Megyn Kelly was trying to address in her introduction, that we know that the president watches and listens to him, and they actually showed evidence throughout the segment. They showed moments where Alex Jones would bring something up on his show, and then a few days later, Donald Trump would very much echo that sentiment in a speech or something like that. So she was trying to then justify why they would put somebody like this on air for when otherwise he wasn't necessarily in the news.
I have a couple of examples of that. Here's Megyn Kelly explaining how a message from a July 2015 InfoWars video made its way into one of then-candidate Donald Trump's speeces.
On July 22nd, 2015, InfoWars put up this video, claiming it showed drug trafficking along the U.S.-Mexico border, although we don't know what it actually shows.
We actually witnessed a drug smuggling operation from Mexico into the U.S.
3 days later, Mr. Trump gave this speech in Iowa.
Big story, it's all over the place now. Guys swimming across, and big bags of stuff, it's drugs, swimming across the river.
Here also from Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly, she's talking about Alex Jones's influence on the president again. Here she shows how Jones's allegations that Hillary Clinton would be on drugs during the presidential debate then made it into a Donald Trump speech.
This was InfoWars previewing the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton.
I think she's going to show up and on drugs, though. She's going to be whacked up.
And Mr. Trump's take not long after.
We should take a drug test prior, because I don't know what's going on with her.
So, Hadass Gold, I mean, speak to that connection between Alex Jones, President Trump, then candidate Trump, and sort of the reasoning behind giving this very large platform to a conspiracy theorist.
So part of it is the motivation that the president might have, or why the president listens to this type of person, and the effect that such theories and such a media diet really can have on the president and his decisions. And in the segment we saw, she brought in Charles Sykes. He's a conservative radio host. He's you would call him an anti or never Trumper. And he sort of gave the political explanations of why going to the sources of the information for our leaders matter. It kind of depends on where they get their information from and how that potentially affects their decisions and their public policy. And so that's where they were threading the needle of trying to say, this is why we're going to this person, to show you what they're talking about, what they believe, and then how many people follow them, and that it's not just a random 6 million Americans. Amongst the people who follow him or have listened to him in the past is clearly our current president.
Mm-hmm. Well, and right, the president, and broadly speaking, a YouTube channel that has racked up 1.3 billion views over the years, millions of listeners, and of course, as you say, the ear of our current president. Let me bring in now from New York, John McWhorter, professor of English and comparative literature at Columbia University, a contributing editor to The New Republic. He wrote a piece last week for CNN titled "Why the Left is Wrong About Alex Jones and Megyn Kelly." Welcome, John. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Joe, your reaction to the Megyn Kelly interview of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones?
Well, I should actually say I haven't been a contributing editor for The New Republic for a while. It's completely changed, and I was one of the people who left.
All but right, point taken.
Case,
thank you.
No problem. I actually think that this idea that we've done something wrong by giving him, quote-unquote, a platform is really more about the fact that a great many of us find him an utterly disgusting figure, and I'm one of them. But I think we have to keep these things in a kind of proportion. And what I mean is this. First of all, who among us thinks that we've made a big difference in Alex Jones's reception in the fact that there was one interview that he did with Megyn Kelly? I mean, he already had a huge platform. And mm-hmm. So in the literal sense, I don't think any of us feel that we've changed much. Anybody who was turned on to him last night would have been turned on to him in some other way later. But I think that there's a more abstract issue that we feel that that person shouldn't be allowed on a national television show because of the principle of the thing. But I think there's a thought experiment that we have to do. Say 10, 15 years ago, there were an awful lot of people, for example, who were really upset about what was called gangster rap. This is now kind of an antique discussion. But yeah, there was a lot of that music, yeah, and a lot of it was very popular, that had some terrible things that were said in it. Now, imagine if somebody back then had said, and this could have been a person of any color, you know, usually they would have tilted a little older than about 35, but this is all sorts of people who would have said, let's not have Tupac or Biggie Smalls or 50 Cent doing interviews in glossy venues because we don't want that person given a platform. What everybody against that decision would say very simply would be, it's just one interview. And everybody would have completely understood that we were being a little overblown about it. I think it's the same thing with Jones. It's just one interview. Yes, a lot of us think that he's absolutely despicable. But the idea that therefore we can say we do not wish to see him and we don't want other people to have the opportunity to see him is really more about the gut than the head. I'm not in favor.
But what's the line here? I mean, when a journalist interviews somebody like Alex Jones, whether you listen to him or you don't, I mean, do you personally see this as exposing him or legitimizing him?
Well, that's the next point, this issue of legitimization, because once again, he did one interview. Frankly, if we see what the final cut of the interview was, Alex Jones looked like a complete jackass. I think it was a very happy thing to have on the air. And now, this isn't 1960. You can watch it at the press of a button for the rest of our lives. Now, you could say, what was it like before all of the outcry from last week? And that's a point. But to tell you the truth, he is such a bloviating, incoherent idiot that I would take a bet that even the entire tape makes him look like the complete mess that he is. Isn't it better to have had that online for all of us to see?
Yeah. I think the fact that the President of the United States listens to Alex Jones, talks to him, retweets him, I guess some would argue that that's reason enough to understand who this guy is and the power that he apparently has.
And maybe to help get that man out of the White House as quickly as possible. Don't, for documentary purposes, we want to see the sort of thing that Donald Trump is taking in. Like, I will admit this, as somebody who tries to keep up with things but is busy, including raising two little girls, and that means that I have thought about whether I would say this if I were one of the parents at Sandy Hook, and I definitely would, is that I've never followed Alex Jones. This was the first time I've ever watched actual live feed of the man. Now I know more about him. I know that this is the sort of person that Donald Trump considers to be the equivalent of reading text. We need to know such things. Mm-hmm. And it was just one interview. It hurt nothing.
Mm. Let's get Cheryl in here from Metairie, Louisiana. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
What I want to say is that initially I was against the interview because, you know, I thought that they're going to give a platform to this, you know, like you said, bloviating idiot, you know, this fake news aficionado. But after seeing the interview, I thought, you know what? I'm going to give her a chance. I'm going to listen to it. And I was totally impressed. I thought, just like your gentleman guest there said, that she made him look like the fake news fool that he is. He was sweating by the end of it. Like I said, I was very impressed. I think that she did not at all capitulate to any of the, you know.
Cheryl, thank you. We got to go to break here. We're discussing Megyn Kelly's interview with Alex Jones and big questions about who should get airtime. You can join the conversation. Is part of good journalism shining a light on offensive views? Or is this just callous ratings grabbing? I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. More after this break. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about Megyn Kelly's interview on NBC last night with conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and the big questions about how mainstream media should interface with controversial figures who have a huge appeal and huge followings. You can join the conversation. What's the line for you between journalism and sensationalism? Does hearing Alex Jones reinforce your opinions or change them? You can follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. Here's from Megyn Kelly's show last night. She's talking about the influence that Jones has on President Trump. She played a clip of Trump appearing on InfoWars.
I just want to finish by saying your reputation's amazing.
In December 2015, Mr. Trump appeared on Jones's radio program, offering praise and promises.
I will not let you down. You will be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
I'm speaking this hour with Hadass Gold, media and politics reporter at Politico, and with John McWhorther, professor at Columbia University. Got a lot of listeners engaged in this one. Michelle says, this man doesn't deserve another platform to spread his conspiracy theories and false information. Melissa says, disappointed in NBC. Here's another one. Alex Jones is a patriot. Millions of listeners can't all be wrong. Another says Kelly just wants ratings for her new show and Crazy gets ratings up. Meredith says it was a good interview. People that will listen to him already do. And for those that don't, we got a better picture of his grotesque ideas with little to back them up. I thought she did a good job of exposing the lies and juvenile behavior of him and his staff. Let's get Luke in here from Richmond, Vermont. Hi, Luke. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I wish I had some super eloquent things to say, but I am amazed that the interview happened. I don't even have television at my house, but I do have the internet, and I've never watched Alex Jones. I know who he is by the sound of his voice. And free speech, First Amendment, I agree with that, but if he could put himself in the shoes of the parents of one of those kids that was shot, never mind all the other conspiracy ideas this guy has.
Mm-hmm.
It is just mind-boggling that NBC would allow this consideration to put it on the air. How about some respect? But unfortunately, because of the person who is in the White House now, the fact that a number of people in this country could elect him to be put in the White House, I mean, I think he and Alex Jones are probably closely related somehow.
Luke, thank you very much for the call. I mean, Hadass Gold, it's hard not to view that interview with anything else but the eyes of the parents who lost children who were murdered at Sandy Hook. NBC, I guess, received letters from Sandy Hook families threatening legal action. What are the legal ramifications here?
Right. So a group of the families sent a letter to NBC before it aired. And in the letter, they say that while they recognize that NBC is not necessarily responsible for the words that kind of come out of Alex Jones's mouth, that the families would find them responsible for airing them and the emotional distress that would come from those words being aired and the potential, you know, further harassment of other people. So it was a pretty clear, and I spoke to the people representing these families, it was pretty clear that they were planning to move forward with some sort of legal action in the event that NBC aired this interview. Megyn Kelly was also pulled off of hosting a gala for the Sandy Hook Promise Group, which is a charity in honor of those children and the educators killed in that attack. And so clearly this has had ramifications across the board. One thing I would like to point out, though, which people, there are always interviews like this in television. Somebody insane with the Westboro Baptist Church, those people who protest military funerals, for example.
Well, I remember Timothy McVeigh on 60
right,
Minutes.
Right, in 2000, Timothy McVeigh was on 60 Minutes. And these are people who have killed other people, in terms of Timothy McVeigh. Westboro Baptist Church is very similar to Alex Jones. It's just that Alex Jones seems to be more successful. I mean, I follow the radio industry, and the magazine that follows the radio industry now includes Alex Jones in their top 10 most listened to radio host, just a few slots below the likes of Rush Limbaugh. Mm. So he does have a huge effect. I think it's completely legitimate to have an interview with him. Maybe you would argue against the timing of having it on Father's Day, but it's completely legitimate to figure out who this person is.
Let me bring another voice in here from New York City, Alice Marwick, professor of communications at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who co-wrote a piece last week for the Columbia Journalism Review titled "Megyn Kelly Fiasco is One More Instance of Far-Right Outmaneuvering Media." She's also a fellow at the Data and Research Institute, a think tank in New York, where she heads the Media Manipulation Project. Welcome to you, Alice. Nice to have you.
Thanks, Jane. It's great to be here.
So your response to Megyn Kelly and NBC's decision to air this interview with Alex Jones?
I actually thought Megyn Kelly did a fairly good job, and I was very worried and critical of NBC's decision to air the interview. I think there's a difference between what seemed to be the first draft of this piece, which would have been more of like a puff piece that would normalize normalize Jones and what ended up airing. But I think it is important not to look at this as just one interview, but also look at it as part of a pattern. We've been tracking how these fringe far-right platforms get their message into the mainstream. And typically, there's a desire to appear in mainstream media because it amplifies messages in a way that social media can't. Like, yes, Jones has an enormous He has a huge following on social media, but that's quite different from a mainstream media audience. Social media fame is more niche, it's more targeted, and it tends to be more insular communities. The goal of far-right people like Alex Jones is to reach mainstream media to evangelize their beliefs so that they can recruit more people. And for some, that's an ideological goal. For Jones, I think it's primarily financial, I think, is his motivation for pursuing his far-right conspiracy theories.
So when mainstream outlets talk about conspiracy theories or interview someone who engages in this, even in an effort to debunk them, you're saying that brings new listeners, new viewers? I mean, do people change their minds? Does it reinforce or amplify their existing beliefs? What do you see?
Well, studies have shown that false messages are often reinforced through repetition. There were studies of anti-vaccination activists, and just by repeating the idea that vaccines cause autism, even if you're debunking it, solidified that idea in those activists' minds. It's very hard to change a false narrative once it's out there. And I think it's also important to realize that one of Jones's fundamental principles is that the mainstream media cannot be trusted. He posted a video last night calling the media a pack of bloodthirsty liars who made him look like a demon and who were trying to attack families, fathers, and civilization. So what he's trying to do and what appeals to his audience is to decrease trust in mainstream media, including outlets like The Washington Post, The New York Times, and instead having people turn to his brand of conspiracy theories and other hyperpartisan far-right media like Breitbart.
John McWhorter, to your mind, does the media have a responsibility to shine a light on people like Alex Jones to debunk him, or is it better to just ignore it and hope they go away?
They're not going to go away, and I think that's another point that needs to be made. There are always wackadoodle people like this, and their shelf life tends to be rather brief. Think about how a lot of us felt about Sarah Palin in 2008. Where is she now? Think about how people felt about Glenn Beck circa 2010. Look. Or remember Christine O'Donnell and how scary she was? I couldn't tell you a thing about where she is. So,
but Alex Jones is different from those people. He's just different.
I think actually he's quite disgusting, and there's a loud volume. But, you know, eventually there will be a new Alex Jones. We can't eliminate this strain. But I think we need to see it. I think especially we in a certain overeducated NPR listening bubble need to know what other people are listening to, even when it's disgusting. Because if we just turn away from it, the way I did with Jones, you know, I must read his name every day. I would never have actually watched him. You need to see these people because whether we like it or not, an awful lot of ordinary people are taking their news from people like this and thinking on the basis of people like that. We have to start somewhere. I'd rather know. I don't see the point of keeping that sort of thing in the dark. It's not going to mean that somehow the populace gradually becomes more enlightened, and I don't see that it becomes less so. Or if it does, the internet is never going away. We have to adjust to a new reality.
Let me get Bill in here from Northborough, Massachusetts. Hi, Bill. Glad you called. Welcome to the program. Good. Go ahead.
I agree with the gentleman. I don't care how disgusting it is. We need to know. And once you know, then you're forced with a couple of decisions. One is, gee, I'm not going to do a damn thing about it, or I don't want to know about it. Boy, this is really serious. I need to get involved. Free speech means just that, freedom of speech. I realize that I'm siding with some disgusting elements in our society here. But having said that, there was an expression I heard that I can't forget. And the expression was, the most disturbing aspect about being on the right side of an issue is the positively disgusting company one finds when keeping. I don't like Alex Jones, but I want him in everybody's face so that they have to deal with it.
Bill.
And this is a guy, and the president, and Glenn Beck, and a whole bunch of people, they need to deal with this. And the only way to do that is
to hear him. Bill, thank you. Alice Marwick, speak to Bill's point. I mean, Megyn Kelly said it last night. It's difficult for us to keep an eye on the more controversial figures of our time if we never speak to them.
Well, that's certainly true. And obviously, this isn't a legal issue. No one's saying that Jones has to stop speaking. He has a huge social media platform. But I do think there's a significant difference between previous maybe right-wing commentators, and someone like Alex Jones, who's deeply enmeshed in social media and who has a very large, active following of people who are willing to do what he says, believe in his theories. I think the larger question we need to ask is, why are so many people attracted to this sort of conspiratorial thinking? And Jones's conspiracies go far beyond Sandy Hook and 9/11. He's said that Obama caused Ebola, that the New World Order is opening the gates of hell. I mean, this is not right-wing stuff. This is far-right fringe stuff. So why do these voices suddenly have so much import in American culture? And I'd like to see that examined.
Hadass Gold, I mean, Alice mentioned a few of the things that Alex Jones has spoken about. I mean, he's claimed the government inserted chemicals into juice boxes to make children gay. Of course, there was Pizzagate, Hillary Clinton running a sex ring out of a D.C. pizzeria. That had real life consequences.
Right. And so, I mean, Alex Jones himself has also had to deal with some what his falsehoods have done to others, and he's faced lawsuits, he's had to air public apologies for them. I mean, in his recent custody battle, his lawyer tried to argue that he's a character, and then he tried to spin that with Megyn Kelly and say, it was just when I, this one time, was putting on a lizard costume. But clearly, this character and what he talks about, it appeals to a certain segment of the population. It might appeal to kind of give explanation to a lot of their fears. We've always seen people in American history who believe conspiracy theories. Soon after the moon landing, you almost immediately had people saying that it was faked by the government. It was a cover-up. With the internet now, it's just much easier to get them around, to pass them around. And also, it's a lot easier to make them seem more legitimate. Alex Jones has a really nice studio. He sure looks like it's an official television show. It's hard to see the difference between what he's doing and what other places are doing. If we have websites that are called, and no offense to BuzzFeed, but BuzzFeed.com, and they, on the same page as posting real hard news, they're also doing sillier things. What's to say that somebody should automatically know the difference between InfoWars and what they're posting? It's hard to differentiate.
Could I very quickly interject also?
Yes, that John, go ahead.
I can't help thinking that keeping him off of the likes of NBC would not prevent these ghastly real-life consequences that we're talking about, which we do have to think about. But that doesn't change. And so it seems to me that, once again, there's some value in shedding light upon this person in the mainstream, given that shedding that light isn't going to change also these violent acts that people are committing based on the fact that there are millions of people listening to this man and watching him coming out of their faucets every day.
Mike is in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Welcome to On Point. Mike, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here. I'm getting cut off. I'm up in the Great Smoky Mountains of eastern Tennessee. So
good to have you. What do you think about all this?
Well, I tell you what, I like Alex Jones, and I really appreciate the fact that we can listen to him on the radio here in Knoxville, Tennessee, which is very rare. It comes out of an AM station out of close to the Knoxville airport in Maryville, Tennessee.
So you like Alex Jones. What do you like about him? I mean, Mike, this is a guy who says Sandy Hook was a hoax. 9/11 was government was complicit in 9/11. Do you believe that stuff?
Oh, yeah, and that's one of the things that I would like to, I can't go into, but I think that your producer and you could maybe do another show on what exactly he was talking about the 9/11 thing. And also, he has a great friend that I think you probably know his name, named Jesse Ventura, and he had a TV show of his own. And Jesse Ventura will go into detail about what Alex is talking about. So maybe in the future, you could have Jesse Ventura on your show.
All right, Mike, thank you. I'm going to let you go to get to Christy in Austin, Texas. Hi, Christy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Jane. I just wanted to say that I think it's really important that people are aware that people like Alex Jones exist. And my ex-legal man friend started listening to him, and my friends and I could see his personality change to the point where they were messaging me going, what the heck is going on with him?
Oh, so that's interesting, Christy. So Alex Warwick asked the question, why are these conspiracy theories taking hold in people? Why do you think? You saw your friend in the throes of it. What would you say about that?
I think that they, I don't know that there's something wrong with them. They're narcissistic. I don't know. But I think it's wrong and it's bad. And he was listening to it with my kids in the car. And I was at the point, you are not allowed to have the kids listen to this because I don't want my kids to start thinking and believing this stuff.
Christy, thanks very much. John McWhorter, respond to all this, please.
Well, you know, I think that we need to understand that there is a phase shift necessary in how we process how people take in information. And in a way, the Alex Joneses are showing us that teaching people or what sorts of opinions people have is not simply a matter of exposing people to fact. That is so hard to get past because of our schoolroom model. People have ideologies. We need to start understanding that spontaneously. And Alex Jones is object lesson number one.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about the limits of free speech this hour and whether or not last night's interview by Megyn Kelly with conspiracy theorist Alex Jones pushed those limits. Did you even know about Alex Jones before the interview? Do you think the pushback is because he's from the far right? I'm speaking this hour with Hadas Gold, media and politics reporter for Politico, John McWhorter, professor at Columbia University, and Alice Marwick, professor of communications at the University of North Carolina. Here is Megyn Kelly talking about Alex Jones's statements that the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax.
Here he is on InfoWars in December 2014.
But it took me about a year with Sandy Hook to come to grips with the fact that the whole thing was fake.
You said the whole thing is a giant hoax. How do you deal with a total hoax? It took me about a year with Sandy Hook to come to grips with the fact that the whole thing was fake. I did deep research, and my gosh, it just pretty much didn't happen.
Here also from the program last night, Neil Heslin, father of six-year-old Sandy Hook victim, Jesse.
I dropped him off at 9:04. That's when we dropped him off at school with his book bag. Hours later, I was picking him up in a body bag.
Viewpoints from across the spectrum here from Facebook. One listener says, I'm amazed we are even having this conversation to defend my right of free speech. I must tolerate Jones's heinous talk. It is a cost of freedom. Vicky says, drive out darkness by shining a light. More interviews will hold Alex Jones accountable for his evil words. And finally, we don't need to listen to Alex Jones to distrust the mainstream media. Let's get Jim in here from Kent, Ohio. Hi, Jim. You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm not very familiar with either Megyn Kelly or Alex Jones, but until the last couple of months. And I don't have a lot of respect for Megyn Kelly after seeing her interview with Putin. Putin asked her, have you lost your mind, a couple of times, and she couldn't even answer that question. But the point is that I wanted to make is that Alex Jones should not be discredited totally, because even though Sandy Hook is a bizarre, far out there, nutty thing to say, he is right about Kennedy assassination being a conspiracy, and probably 9/11 too. And so I don't think he should be just or conspiracy theorist should be painted with the same brush. I mean, Julius Caesar was killed by a conspiracy, so was Abraham Lincoln. So, I mean, it's not like conspiracies do not exist and people that theorize about them are wrong. So I think you need to correct that. But Alex Jones is right that Kennedy was killed by a conspiracy of criminal elements within our government, and it's probably the same true for 9/11.
All right, Jim. I appreciate your perspective, and I appreciate the call. Here's Tico in Leesville, South Carolina. Hi, Tico. You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, here's the deal with Alex Jones. As far as the broadcasting of the Sandy Hook thing, especially on Father's Day, he's absolutely wrong on that issue. And I feel bad for people like Neil.
The father from Sandy Hook who lost his son, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Now, when it comes to 9/11... he's absolutely right on 9/11. And the other caller just mentioned that there conspiracies do exist. I've always wondered, for 2 years after 9/11, every time I've seen like a a Muslim, or I said, look out, what are they doing? But when I seen Tower 7 fall, there were seven towers at the World Trade Center, and the 9/11 Commission said that that tower fell from fires. I always had a problem with that, and to me, the smoking gun on 9/11 was Tower number 7.
Tico, there are a lot of people I know who agree with you and who speak that. Alice Marwick, I mean, what do you say? I mean, there you have a couple of callers saying, you know, all conspiracy theories are not created equal, but, you know, we got to believe, and we do believe.
Well, it's, we know that someone who's, who believes in one conspiracy theory is more likely to believe in others. So what Jones does is he creates a sort of conspiratorial mindset, or enhances or encourages a conspiratorial mindset in the people who listen. He really tries to sow doubt in the listeners' minds. And a lot of the way he does this is through invoking the journalistic lens of objectivity. So he posted an apology to the Newtown parents last night, and he invited any of them who wanted to come on the show. And he said, we're going to get into both sides of this issue. Now, there aren't two sides to this issue. There is one side to the issue. There is the facts of what actually happened in Sandy Hook. But by setting this up as something that can be debated, that can be doubted, he encourages his listeners to mistrust everything that they see. And on one hand, that's good. Like, we want people to be critical. We want people to be able to assess information. But the types of events that he's causing people to question are not events where there are multiple points of view, or there is, like, a spectrum of ideas around.
John McWhorter, you know, there's some people who say it's that mistrust of the media and so much of what makes us America, you know, that undermines the very fabric of our democracy. And that's the very problem here. What do you say?
Well, I would say that. And then I'd say something that I think has less of a sort of Copeland-esque ring to it, which is that I think some of this depends on how perfect you expect society to be. And I'm not sure that we can get rid of the kind of person who has this alternative sense of realities. And so, for example, how many of us have ever spoken at length to a truther? I happen to have a friend who intersects with many points of view such that he is a hard leftist, but has been one of these truthers. Boy, has he got it worked out with his highly analytic mind. His IQ is probably about 135. It feels good to him as a human being to have this all worked out, to be playing with logic in this way. He's making sense of things the way, frankly, you start seeing toddlers do. He's just coming to a different conclusion and enjoying that his gives him a sense of bearing and alternate higher enlightenment wisdom. You know, that's just human. I don't think we can spray for that. I don't think that's ever going away, and that's part of why I don't get upset to see Megyn Kelly interviewing Alex Jones. But maybe I'm lacking a certain idealism. I'm sincere in saying that.
Hadass Gold, is Alex Jones more controversial because he's from the far right? Some of our listeners say, well, the reaction would be different if he was from the other side.
Maybe. I mean, we've seen, at least when you go on to that people from the right tend to have more success and more listeners on places like radio or radio style. I mean, not everything is necessarily through the airwaves anymore, but online. I think that the reason that and we're paying extra attention to him is because of the connections to our current president, obviously. And that's a clear thread. I do wonder, you do have to think about the other side. And I know a lot of Republicans, a lot of people on the right who say, look at the gunman who shot the congressional Republicans. That was a clear reaction to what they say is sort of left-wing hate. And clearly this is an issue on both sides. I mean, I'm online. I see both sides. I see people on the left who are claiming a lot of interesting theories about President Trump, about Russia, about a lot of things going on that we've seen absolutely no evidence for. And then when we see it on the right as well, I've been out on the trail and I've talked to voters. This was, you know, way long ago before a lot of us thought Donald Trump was going to be president, who were asking very sincere questions about Barack Obama and about Michelle Obama, questions that we would find insane. But to them, they had real questions about the past. They said they saw things online, and then they were wondering why I, as a journalist, was not investigating them. You know, the freedom of information we have on the internet has both its benefits and its drawbacks. We in the United States tend to fall on the side of more free speech is better, because the moment you say, and I understand why these people say, well, they're not all conspiracy theories are the same, and we need to investigate some things. Some things that you might argue would be a conspiracy theory, whether it's science, a new science theory, or something else, we don't want to potentially shut everything down and start policing these types of things. But there is a way to counter them.
Here is Megyn Kelly criticizing Alex Jones' vetting process for the material he covers on InfoWars in last night's Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly interview. Here it is.
Well, you know, if you just look at an article and discuss it, it's garbage in, garbage out, right? If you haven't ascertained the veracity of that article, and it's all BS, and then you spend 2 hours talking about it, then you put out a bunch of misinformation.
And here is Alex Jones describing his journalistic role during last night's interview on the program Sunday Night with Megyn Kelly.
Do you think of yourself as a journalist?
I have some journalists that work for me, and I do journalistic work, and I've broken a lot of big stories, and I understand the basics of it.
And here's one of Jones' employees, Owen Schroer, talking about whether or not he thought himself a journalist.
You know, I don't like calling it that. I'm just a human. I'm just a human that's looking for truth. So I'm trying to reach out and be what the people want.
When you say people, who do you mean?
The deplorables, the flyover country, the forgotten American.
Let's go to Kevin in Palm Beach. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Thank you for taking the call.
Yes, go ahead.
I am astounded that you are assigning any time on your program to this issue. It is not about free speech. It is not about facts. It is not about news. And the fact that you are talking about this does nothing more than put some more money into the pocket of Mr. Jones and what he's doing. We all know, we have known forever, that some people will believe anything. I do believe it's accepted almost universally that the Earth is not flat. We do know, those of us who pay attention, that 30-some-odd percent of the people in this country do not believe in evolution. That is astounding to me as a scientist. It is so outrageous to me that this gentleman is suggesting that these young people did not die, and then for Megyn Kelly and the network to give that some credibility by putting it on TV, that I can understand, because they're all about money and nothing.
Well, you know what? I think, Kevin, we're covering this because this guy has racked up 1.3 billion views over time. He has millions of listeners. He's got the ear of President Trump. John McWhorter, respond to Kevin there, please.
That's just it. With all due respect to Kevin, it's not some people will believe anything. There can be working intelligence behind belief in some of these things. You have to actually talk to such people. And this is not me making some banal call for people to go to small towns in Kentucky and talk to people. But you have to have actually spoken to people like this to understand that it's more challenging than just some people are dumb. You can be very intelligent and be a truther. You cannot believe in evolution and be able to, up to a certain very narrow point, defend yourself quite articulately, even if you're missing a few facts. It's not that America is dumb. It's that there are different ways of looking at things, and quite frankly, everybody is not up for juristic reasoning. And never will be. But it's not just that everybody's a dummy. It's condescending, and it's just not true.
Can I jump in
Alice
here?
Alice Marwick, what would you say? Yeah. I think one of the reasons that people like Kevin have such a problem with airing this is that there has been such an emphasis on people from the far right end of the political spectrum in public discourse since the 2016 election. We've seen people like Richard Spencer, the so-called leader of the alt-right, on CNN. But we don't see the same type of airtime given to people on the far left. Like, when is Megyn Kelly going to have Marxist feminists on her show? Is she going to have lesbian separatists? There's an enormous amount of far left people who don't get anything like the amplification that these far right media personalities do. So if the question here is really free speech, then what's important is introducing a multiplicity of ideas into public discourse. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're opening up space on the far right for ideas around conspiracy theories, around white supremacy, around misogyny, but you're not opening up the same kind of critical space on the far left.
So you asked the question earlier, Alice, why these conspiracy theories are taking hold, and that's sort of the big driver should be of this conversation. What's your answer to that question? Answer your own question.
I think people are worried. I think classically we know that conspiracy theories are a response to concerns about a changing world. And we do live in a time where there's vast social change, and there are large parts of this country where economics are not good. Young people everywhere have to work unpaid internships before they get a full-time position. There's much more economic precarity, and people are concerned about it. And what conspiracy theories do is they provide a very simplistic explanation. It's the Illuminati's fault. It's the government's fault. It's the lizard people's fault. You have someone to blame. Now, the problem is that a lot of these conspiracy theories are tied to racism. A lot of the ones around Obama being a secret Muslim or that he was part of ISIS or even the birther movement, this is delegitimizing him as a black man and an American citizen. And we see a lot of the same kind of rhetoric in Alex Jones when he talks about the globalists and the Clintons and the Obamas being killers and murderers. What he's doing is spreading this idea that the global elites are somehow tied to, you know, these ancient ideas about Jewish conspiracies and sort of worries about the other. So I think it makes sense that people believe in conspiracy theories given how fast the world changes. I just think we have to critically question where these conspiracy theories come from and where they lead.
Professor McWhorter, I'll give you some final thoughts here in response.
Well, I think that definitely, I should say, as a black person myself, racism undergirds a lot of these theories. And once again, I'll say, and I make myself unpopular in some circles in saying this, I think that there's an extent to which racism simply will never go away. I personally feel that it's part of the fact that life is difficult. Maybe I'm not being idealistic enough. But it seems to me, and Alice, I completely understand everything you're saying, I would venture that the hard leftist views that you're mentioning get a certain amount of airing in venues such as MSNBC and other online places, such that many people might feel that this hard right is getting a special kind of outlet for the first time over the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. But people might argue differently.
Hadass Gold, final 10 seconds are for you.
This is something that I think we're going to continue dealing with. And part of it is really that we have our leaders in government in a way legitimizing some of these views and some of these people. And that's why we have to keep paying attention to it.
Hadass Gold from Politico. Thank you very much, Hadass.
Thank you.
John McWhorter, Associate Professor of English at Columbia. Thank you, Professor. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Alice Marwick, Professor of Communications at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Professor, thanks to you.
Thanks, Jane, for having me.
And listeners, thank you for your excellent input. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.